Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Romp past your mom, dad's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything that make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more, and then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue our coverage of John Wick with Chapter 3, Parabellum. It was released on May 17th, 2019. It was written by Derek Kolstad, Shay Hatton, Chris Collins, and Mark Abrams, and directed by Chad Stelsky. I'm Colton Robertson, and I'm joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it is sure a pleasure to have you. Might notice that this is the first one with a team writing it versus a solo Derek Kolstad, which is fascinating because this feels like the least written movie.
Most,
it's just me. How are you maybe, feeling fresh off your first watch of it?
Maybe that could make sense of they're setting up a lot of things to happen in the next movie, which I think this is the movie in which it could end, but there's for sure another one. But the other two, you kind of ended and you're like, ah, I don't really need another one, you know? Like, I would like one, it'd be okay, but don't really need it. This end kind of is like, well, now the war is beginning, you know, sort of thing, and, like, it feels like a new, something is just to come. But, I did not think a team of writers would be writing this one, that's for sure. Mm. Just pure action, that's this one. If you don't really care about the story a whole lot, and you just want to see people die in the most brutal ways John Wick can think of, here's the movie so far out of 1 through 3. This is that one.
You wanted those. You wanted those extra weapons. I got a few of them. Yeah.
Oh, I got them. Yeah. We got samurai swords, and like this one felt the most like they were trying to implement the most genre blends, you know, that they could with. They had like that in the beginning when he was building that, you know, revolver, and he was putting all the pieces together, and it all Western. I don't know. I feel like there was, maybe I heard in my head, but I swear to God, I heard like a barrel, like a old Western kind of theme, yeah, a little bit, you know, and he pops that dude in the head, you know, so he's starting all Western, and then we work up to the knives and the axes in that hallway eventually, you know, that they start fighting, and then we're at swords and then
his belt.
Yeah, I mean, we got, and goddamn, Halle Berry, okay, you know, I'm not going to lie, this was really, I really, like, their sequence together when they were just going, just killing everybody there, I thought, I don't know, the action, I am not disappointed in the slightest. No. Like, that's the thing. When it comes to the action, this is maybe the best that they have, but it doesn't have, like, the weight that all the other action had, like, along with it, because the story was so good. So that's kind of where this one falls for me, is that it's...
Well, and it's... What kind of pits this one in a negative space is that, as far as John Wick is concerned, the character himself, it's the exact same movie as 2. He's not overcoming anything. And in fact, it's less than what he was doing in 2. It's just surviving, not with any motive beyond it. And, you know, when that's your main character, it's not as fun, I don't think. But, you know, the supporting cast got a chance to do a little bit more. You know, I enjoyed Halle Berry in this movie. I like Angelica Houston popping up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said last episode, this is the Sharon and Winston movie, it feels like. And it pays off big.
Yeah. Good old character was this one. It's not clear. I think it is between Winston, Sharon, maybe, again, what's his king? The
Bowery King.
Bowery. Yeah, Bowery. I don't know. It's not John Wick. That's, you know, character wise. Mm. Even the Doctor was clutch. You know, really every character that popped up was really cool. Other than, I mean, not to say John Wick's not cool. We just know who he is. He didn't really go on a journey or anything. And the introductions of other characters, that's always cool. We just never met. You know, we haven't met these people. We have a, you know what? Who? His Zero. Oh, that's his name? Zero in the movie? Interesting. I feel like he's the one that I know from somewhere, but I couldn't get it. In this one, the guy who is maybe I don't know. That's
Mark.
That's his like
Mark Disco-
yes.
DeCostos. Yes.
His worthy adversary for this one, I guess, you know.
I would say the unworthy adversary is what I would argue. He is not.
Okay.
I mean, like, he's on his level skill-wise, close mm-hmm. to it anyway, but it's the John has little to no respect for this guy because he loves what he does, because he and I think there's a part of him that hates that he wants to be like John. And
yeah, he's like
we're the same.
He's like, we're the same. And John's like, no, dude, no, not at all. You're like a fanboy, you know. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're in this for the wrong reasons, man. I do, for this movie, he's in Lucifer, the TV show, which is maybe mm-hmm. where it is from. But the world building, you know, it felt kind of like a fan service movie. They were like, we're going to give you, but, you know. I don't know, just way more cool lore, John Wick lore shit. I guess that's where he was trained or where he grew up, or like in that Angelica Houston, you know, school, Russian, like a Black Widow-esque, the Red Room sort of thing. No, that's just, I guess, is there that organization? Is it the Red Room, or I feel like there's
a
bigger name for them, but it, I don't know, it felt kind of like that, you know. I love just these things that feel similar to other things.
Johnny Jablonovich.
Mm-hmm. Man, all these poor people, man, just dancing, you know. They're just about they got other training to do. They fight and do all that stuff, but like even just those people on the stage, like you could tell how tired that girl was when she was like, okay,
she
enough
collapses.
And she was just like, holy, you know. And so yeah, that place, it makes sense why John is so
rugged.
Yeah.
And it makes sense now, like the back tattoos coming back through,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that
was actually like everybody has that tattoo. You see it on the back of that dancer. Mm-hmm.
And to know that, is this like it feels kind of like a separate entity. Like, are they like, you know, kind of like the Bowery King where they're not like fully in with the continent, or like, you know, the business, but they're like very mutual, or are they like very in and part of the...
Well, that's what's interesting about this movie, is that I think it makes clear that everything is under the table, even the Bowery King.
Mm.
He's like, let it be known, like the Bowery King himself, he's like, let it be known, the Bowery will be following the excommunicado of John Wick. Like, that is, we're
but
not gonna fuck with that.
He has to make that choice. He says, yes, we will follow what the High Table is saying, but like, we are honoring that. Yes. And
well, I think it's
probably
always
just
an option.
Like, it's just out of fear, you know, to break the rules, like, means you either get 7 cuts or you die or whatever. Yeah. Yes. But like,
cause I mean, like, Winston refuses the table and he is absolutely under it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay, this is true. So yeah, I guess there isn't like a tier system. It is, there is the table and then everyone under the table,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much. And then I guess the man who sits above the table,
which was
cool. Yeah, and not old at all, which was funny. You know, I expected a very wizened, I don't know, just old ass dude or girl or nope. Just a middle-aged guy, or not
just
even
a dude
middle-aged.
From Game of Thrones.
I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I could have sworn. I don't know. The you said there's him from Game of Thrones, and then there are like some other people that were surprising. I thought the surprise was Macklemore at first. I was, and then I'm like, like, it's not Macklemore at all. It's just a random guy that
from
dies.
Game of Thrones is in next movie specifically.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, I think I missed it. If not, okay, I'm glad that it is next
They will
movie.
Stand out. You will notice them. That is... Mm. You'll be like, oh, that's them, you know? It won't
like
be
it.
Like
okay.
They're in the background. No, they're a character. You'll notice.
Okay, good. Good then. But yeah, I don't know. Brother Ray, I think we'll take the cake. Ian McShane as Winston for me here as the character. Mm-hmm. I think specifically for the scene where he knows John has to kill him and he gives John the choice. Like the, who do you want to die as, John? You know, you want to die as... The boogeyman, El Baba Yaga, you know, I love just the boogeyman.
El Baba Yaga.
It's just so cool. But yeah, no, I love just him playing the game, I don't know, the whole time. He's so just professional, the way he speaks. I love, like,
Very calculated.
And the Bowery King was close. He was really close just because, man, does Lawrence Fishburne just put on. Like a hell of a character there. Like just mm-hmm. his manner, like way of speaking. He speaks in like poems almost. Like it's I forget what he said, but like whenever the Fed, I don't know. Like what do you what
the adjudicator?
Adjudicator. Yeah, there it is. But you know when she pulls up to him and he the first thing he says to her is like some rhyme or some I don't know. But he's, I don't know, just everything he says is always over the top, which I love.
Oh, yeah, whenever he's like, I am the Bowery, you know, like y'all can't fuck with this. You know, the king is dead. Long live the king. And then he gets his cuts, you know, like that's hard.
That was
fuck.
Sick.
I love that.
Legit kind of thought he died there at first. Mm-hmm. I was
you're supposed to.
I was like, oh man. I was like, man, this really sucks to lose him there. Cause like there was so much blood. That was coming out. I was just like, damn, yeah, they got him good there. Like, and then when he came back, I was like, okay. That return, the orange Fanta with the metal straw, you know, that, and then I'm just, I don't know. It was just so fun. Like, that's why he almost took characters, because every time he was on screen was just incredible. But I think.
No, he's a great character, man.
Yeah. But Winston, though, I think is more crucial to this story, at least. And he's. Mob, you know, mob, classic mob story, I guess. I don't know. He's, he displayed his power. That was, I don't know. It was kind of really cool when the adjudicator even realized, like, oh, I see what I see now. Like, I guess, like, was this a part of, like, I don't think Winston was, you know, Palpatine-ing it up, master plan to gain more power to get fired first and then,
no,
you know, have
I think
to go
this
through
is
all
a plan
this?
That's developed after getting fired.
Okay, so he, because do you think he, because whenever she came
he
up to
shocked.
Him and was, yeah, he's like, wait, what? He's like, yeah. Yo, but like, I don't know. They're all about rules, you know? It's like, he knew, like, giving him that hour buffer, he should have died. Like, according to the rules, you kill him, you know, you kill him there. So, like, he knew he was breaking the rules, right? Like, so, like, is it... That he just thought he's been in the game for so long, 40 years. Like, was he truly just like they won't care?
I think it's similar to something John's been doing where it's just like all of them think it's fascinating that the emphasis on we have rules is that they are doing stuff that is so lawless. That the logic of having rules is fucking insane. You know, like, we are, without rules, we're animals. You're animals anyway, bro. Like, you're doing terrible shit. You know, like, that is, so I think that they all kind of justify everything they do to themselves, regardless of what the rules are. And then when the rules come back around to bite them in the ass, they're like, oh shit, yeah, I guess. You know, like, it's like, I kind of view it as like all of them. View what they do as necessary or right, but and because it is such a terrible organization and a terrible line of work that sometimes that comes back around to bite you. So I think that's okay. Just kind of what the adjudicator kind of represents is just kind of being like, here's your comeuppance. You've done a lot of terrible stuff. And I love that she is like the inverse of a cop. Whenever she shows up and talks to the Bowery King, she's like, I want to see where it didn't happen. Mm. Where you didn't kill John Wick.
Yeah, you know, not for an actual crime that they committed, for a crime that they did
that
not
didn't happen.
Commit.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to frame her that way, where she's like, I'm here to see about these murders, the ones that didn't happen, you know, like that sort of thing.
Wow. Huh. Okay, yeah, I didn't really, it's not, the rules
everything's
are
so twisted, everything's yeah, so backward, like, and that, like, what they're doing, it doesn't even matter to anybody beyond themselves. You know, like, it's every individual has their own motives. And to be in this line of work, the only person who is truly loyal to anybody is Sharon. And he's not, I don't even know that he's loyal to Winston. I think he's loyal to the Continental.
And that dog.
And that dog, yes. Sharon's a good dude. He's my character of the movie. I love Sharon. I love the sequence whenever, obviously, you don't know Sharon has it like that.
Mm-mm. No.
You know?
Yeah, I was not expecting him to join the fight.
Whenever
here,
he shuts the, whenever he locks it behind him and twists it and he's all ready and everything. But when they retreat and are getting ready to come back and he takes off his jacket and he starts getting ready without saying a fucking word, you're like, he is fucking pissed. You
yep.
know, like, I love
he's never
Lance
seen
Reddick.
Him like that. Yeah.
Oh, dude,
never
it's
seen
wonderful.
Him like that. He's,
he goes
always
up to John.
Collected. Yeah.
John's like, you need a new armor, huh? And he's like, armor piercing rounds. This will be fucking fine. We
armor
got this shit.
Piercing rounds. He's like, yeah. I mean, I don't know why they didn't start with that. You know, like, that's what movie logic would say. But it's like, it, that moment, I love the fact that they have this moment of like, what the fuck? Like, they're like, this shit is nothing.
Dude,
and they're like, all right,
they are
fuck them.
Popping dudes like crazy and nothing is happening until they bend back their heads and shoot them in the throat. Like, that's like, fucking brutal.
Like, that's, do we have, do you think we have suits like this? Do you, like, do you think our the top military, wherever it is in the world, do you think we have a bulletproof suit like this? Because there was a time where they were just, there was a dude standing there tanking bullets because he knew, you know, like, he literally, people got behind him. Like, they all lined up because they knew, like, that first one would be bulletproof, and then they did, like, a little break and then fire, you know, like, it was, and this is unfair, you know, like, this is
the movie that plays the most like a video game. Everything, like,
at level one, not, level two, level,
yes,
it,
you are
yeah,
working
like,
your way up, up, and up, you know,
the
level
literal
one,
stairs
face,
of the final fight, yeah, like, it was, it was, really, a John Wick video game would fuck. Oh my god, does that not exist? Does have they not made a video game for John Wick yet? Because
they have not.
Well, maybe you wouldn't want the public just because that the game would be GTA 5, but only killing people. You know, it's like the only bad part of GTA 5 that parents would be like, "Oh no, stay away from that." So it's like, would you want a game where you're...
I mean, it wouldn't have to be open world, but like mission-based, story-based game could be a lot of fun, you know? Like, I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, this you're right, though. This one was very video game-like.
I mean, like, and specifically those armor suits. It's like, you play Call of Duty, you don't one gun somebody. You shoot them six fucking times before they die. You know what I'm saying? And that is like when he's like bop 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 bop, he's just like looking for the spot. I'm like, it's funny because this is the most relatable movie because you've played video games. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, damn, this is how I feel. Yeah,
been
playing
there.
Video.
You know, like that sort of shit. It's
but even
know,
more
literally,
this is
but,
like
you know,
even
virtually
more difficult because you have to pin them down and shoot them just behind the neck or move their goggles and shoot them in the eye. Like it will like,
dude.
I like it gave him another challenge. You know, like
yeah.
I like.
No, I mean like there's only mm-hmm. so much you can do to make these movies interesting. And I think that they did what they need. They did the bare minimum of what they needed to do in this one to make it more interesting. And I would say it's not as interesting as John Wick 2, but at least the action sequences are fun.
John Wick 4
has all of it. John Wick 4 is the shit.
I'm definitely glad it's a huge level up
from John Wick 3.
Because no stairs here, so I'm guessing it comes in the fourth one. So yeah, no Game of Thrones surprise, no stairs. So I'm ready for that. But yeah, I mean the story, it was cooler. It was like someone about to ascend to the table, taking the spot right before them. You know, I don't know. I guess they kind of wrote themselves into a corner with him just being excommunicado and him having to just run and having to protect himself, you know, for a long time of it.
And I think that's a great idea. Like, they do a fun, like, this is a fun movie, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's not as good as the first two and it's not as good as the fourth. I would say it is the worst John Wick movie, but I also don't think it's by the, like, fucking margin that, like, Twitter would have you believe. I think that, like, it's not quite as good, but goddamn, do I have a good time watching it. This is probably the John Wick movie I've watched the most.
Wow. To put one on, this would be the easiest just to, I mean, it's loud.
That is the only thing.
Yeah. But like it gets loud, but yeah, this would be a perfect background movie to throw on. And then just when the action starts up, all right, I'll sit back. I'll watch this for a little bit. And then
it's the only one of these movies with a stretch in the middle that is actively slow. When they get to Casablanca, it takes its fucking time, bro. I appreciate Jerome Flynn and Braun's introduction, that character. But goddamn, like, I'm like, what are we even doing here? It doesn't even end up being important. It's just a stop along the way.
That's why, like, because Halle Berry, like, it was the action part is really, really cool. But, like, even the story elements that she was used for, I'm like, you have the bones here for so much more. And, like, they made her very badass, you know, like the spitting out the water, putting it back in the bottle, or, like, the dog. Mm-hmm. Huge on, like, they, like, badass, cool, action. All of that at 100%. I really have no gripes with any of the action or any of that. But it's just whenever it does slow down and whenever we're not killing people, it just is like, okay, let me just get to the next killing people scene then. Like, it's kind of what this one felt like. It just felt like, I don't know, just a way to get to the next action sequence. Mm-hmm. But before, I was genuinely interested in where John was going or what was happening with the greater world, you know, like that sort of thing.
Well, and that's what's interesting is that, like, it. And again, you were right. They wrote themselves into a corner. I think a key thing here is that this is the longest one so far, and it needs to be the shortest one. This movie does not need to be 30 minutes longer than the first one. It doesn't, you know, like and I appreciate some of the longer sequences. I like him walking through the desert trying to find the elder. Like, I like that stuff, but I feel like Casablanca could have been halved, which sucks because I love the setting. I love the Moroccan continental. I think that was super fucking cool. There's a lot to really like aesthetically, but and I appreciate that. I feel like the only reason we end up doing that scene with Jerome Flynn is so that we can get another dog threatened sequence where John's like, I get it, but don't, you know, like, chill, you know, like, don't do it.
No, this was just a way to get to a different country and have a lot of people wanting to kill John Wick and Halle Berry. It's like, yeah, I mean, that and at the end of the day, that's what they're writing these for. That is, like, what they're writing these stories for, is to get to a point where they can just have a massive bloodbath.
No, yeah, and I will say, like, it was cool to demonstrate. He shows up in Casablanca and heads turn. It's a really good way to exemplify that he cannot go anywhere. There is nowhere on Earth, the entire planet, where he will be fine.
That is crazy. Yeah, like, that is...
He would have to go to Antarctica.
And they granted him amnesty. Was that Sophia that granted him amnesty? Like, cause, or who granted him amnesty? The guy that came out to greet him and killed that other dude? Or?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, because I think he works with the Moroccan Continental, but I'm pretty sure he takes him directly to Halle Berry, and Halle Berry shoots him immediately. And it's just kind of like,
she knows
she's not going to kill him, but yeah, like it's a symbolic gesture for sure. But
That part confused me though. You can do that to someone who's excommunicado, like, and you're not breaking the rules yourself, you know?
No, they are. That's what's crazy is that, like, they are breaking the rules. That is rule breaking. You're not allowed to grant amnesty to someone who's excommunicado, but they don't get any repercussions. There's nothing that comes as a result of that. Halle Berry, once she's out of the movie, she's out of the movie, and she's not in the fourth one. There's no Morocco in the next movie.
Okay. I thought that would come back around somehow, you know.
Nope, not at all.
Because that was kind of like the whole point of her. Like, it's like, hey, I have a marker for you. You know, you have to owe me something. But she's like, obviously, I can't do this or they will kill me. You know, like that was like the whole point of her not wanting to do it. And then she's like, okay, I'll do it. And then, yeah, I guess maybe they didn't have anything to worry about.
So that's my thing is that I'm like, it's not as tight as the first two. It does leave these open ends where you're kind of like, oh, that doesn't feel exactly like what the first couple movies have set up for us. But again, there are some super fucking cool action sequences. I love the first fight with Boban Marjanovic.
Boban. Yeah. I was like, I guess there is a guy that, you know, I thought I saw Macklemore and then, but I'm like, Boban? I was like, huh? But then I'm like, you know what? It is really cool to see a giant man just fighting John Wick. I don't know. I'm like, and where else are you going to get a giant man like that other than the NBA? You know, I don't know. It's just kind of what you have to do. And maybe Boban was a fan of John Wick and was just I'll be in John Wick. I mean, I would, even though he got killed, it might be one of my coolest kills. You know, a kill with a book. I mean, was, oh my God. Yeah, broke his jaw first, you know, like jammed it in his mouth and then punched it in further to dislocate his jaw and then breaks his neck, you know?
God
like,
damn.
Yeah, you're dying in a brutal way, but at least you're in a John Wick movie. That's the only way you're going to get in a John Wick movie.
I love his little, his hiding places for stuff. Like, he's got this Russian book on the shelf that he's like, no one's ever going to check this out. This is where I keep things. And I also love that it just got a picture of him and his wife in it. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Yeah, it is all of these markers and coins and symbol or whatever that one rosary, whatever it was, but,
gives it a thing. Kiss, throws it in the, you know, and that's, it throws it back in and like,
yeah,
it's funny because like I'm not gonna logic my way in and out of it. I appreciate it. It's the thing that reminds you exactly what he does this for. But like,
how
he
would
have had to have put that back. Yeah, he would have had to have put that in there after she died. And it's been like a week and a half or 2 weeks, 3 weeks since she died.
Yeah, in all of this chaos, dude visited the library to open this book, put that picture in there, and then leave and whatever.
So,
I see what you're saying. Now,
I don't like. That doesn't actually bother me, but it's funny to think about. Like, that's the, like, unless he just loves his wife that, like, and he loves his wife that much. We've seen that, obviously. But, like, when he's getting out, he's like, I'm going to throw this in here, put it on the shelf, you know, just in case one day I need to mourn my dead wife, you know, like,
Yeah, I guess there's not really.
The headcanon I formed while I was watching it was, like, if he ever, like, he did it before he got out when he was finding a reason to get out. And it was there to remind him to not get back in if he ever tried to access it. Like, it's like a, that's right. I can't keep doing this, you know, like, and then, but he's too deep. So it's just like a love you, babe. Sorry. Got to grab the coins.
Damn. Yeah. I didn't even, the picture didn't even register, I guess, to me. Cause I was looking at like the other, I was like, oh, what the fuck is in here? Because, I guess I liked, you know, the marker was introduced last movie. And then, you know, now we have an adjudicator, right? Did I say that right? I feel like I might have made it up.
You got it right.
Their coin, the whatever the crucifix necklace that was then ripped and then he got branded for. That's
like
insane.
Their coin.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Is like it's, but like you get branded one time, like, and she said like you're never allowed back here.
It's
right?
I think it's a last resort. Like if you need to use this, you're fucked. You know, like because it seems like that's what's interesting about the operations of the table versus the specific sects mm-hmm. is that clearly they observe their own traditions beyond what the table has formed for them. So yeah. my other interest is like when the table started, like did the table unite all of these different crime
Ooh.
Factions?
Okay. Yeah. Cause
which could be really cool.
Like it got me like a hotel is a perfect like the basement, like the incinerator, they could just, bodies, you know, are just coming in and out of there, and who's to know whenever someone's yeah, like it's weird to think, but like they got a great system, you know, that they mm-hmm. got set up here. The analog stuff, I know I made fun of it last time and that it was slow, whatever, but now I'm really seeing the benefits. And
it
the Bowery
works.
King, yeah, Bowery King showed me a little bit of, you know, the my pigeons. You see pigeons, I see the internet, you know, or whatever. I'm connected, untraceable, you know, everything, and it's really cool to just have all of these different sects. But I like that idea of the table being the one that like united all of them,
together.
Yeah. And that's why there's 12, you know, like the five founding families of the mob or some shit, and then it's like no, the 12 original seats of the table.
That's what's interesting is that like I think they're trying to make a like this is what. Because, oh yeah, Halle Berry is who grants him amnesty because she says, I'm management now. I'm not a foot soldier. You know, mm-hmm. so this is a system you can work your way up through.
Yeah.
This is something that Winston and the Bowery King and these people aspire to, is to be at the fucking table, you know?
That's probably a step up to become a concierge, like mm-hmm. because you're not killing anymore, you know. But he has it; he has the skill, you know, dude. Maybe they all start as kill, like every single one of them starts as a killer, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you, just how it is. Unless I guess you were one of those 12 original seats, or a son of them, or a daughter that gets. I don't know how it works, but it seems
I guess some of them are crime families.
Yeah, like the Italian,
into,
like the Santorini family, or not Santorini. That's
D'Antonio.
His name was Santino.
And,
yeah, D'Antonio, like their family, it was their father, right, that had the seat, and then he gave it to the daughter.
He died,
That was the whole debacle. So, I mean, I bet I don't know if they do go in and on the fourth. I know you have to hold back information. I'll close my eyes so I don't even see your facial reaction.
No,
but,
yeah, I'm fine.
You know, and it is really, really fun to think of where it could go and how it all works out. But at the end of the day, like you're right, like they are animals still. They say the rules is what separates us from the animals, but like you're just domesticated a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And there's a line that John Wick delivers in the first movie where he's like, we're supposed to be civilized. John goes, do I look civilized to you? You know, like no,
I think the dog
here does
kind of a perfect. I don't know if I was looking too into it, but like the dogs that sit and he does not, like the dogs are very trained, civilized. They are still killing machines. Like they can get down to it. Love how they go for the dick. That's what they're trained for, is just go for the dick. But
go for the ball,
John
bro.
Like doesn't sit down, and on the surface, like it you know, very simply is just like he doesn't think she's talking to him. He thinks she's talking. Like, it's not meant for him, it's meant for the dogs. But, like, I was just thinking, like, he's the one that is the wild animal, you know? Like, he's the one that you can't command to do anything, you know?
Right,
he's not going to take a command from anybody, I guess, other than the elder. But then he doesn't. He was going to, I don't know. He was going to talk to Winston. Maybe Winston was the one who actually convinced him, you know? Do you think... Because, like, no way he was just going to walk in there and pop. Like, they were definitely going to have a conversation. John, like, knew this. Like, he wasn't okay, the Elder gave me a task to kill Winston.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to do it no matter what. He's like, yeah. So I don't think that. But do you think if Winston were to just kind of sit silently, you know, not say anything, and just have the gun on the table, and just kind of give John the choice completely, not say anything, like, who do you want to die like, you know? Do you think John, on his own decision, still is like, fuck it, I'll start this war? Like, you know, like, do you think he gets there on his own? Or do you think he, because he's like, but I'll still be alive. Like, he is, like, the decision in his head that he came in with is like, I have to kill it. Like, it's just, sorry,
yeah,
but this is what it's come to.
I think that if Winston doesn't talk himself out of it, John kills him. I think that's, I think that that's the case. And I think it's just a first step. I think he's got a whole other idea of how he wants to get out after he kills Winston. I think he's like, and maybe not even an idea. He doesn't even have a plan. He's just like, this gets me back in their good graces. Mm. I'm no longer hunted. It's a good first step. You know, it's just like, now
yeah,
I'm
no
back
longer excommunicado. There's, and the 14 my, million contract. I guess that's
right.
Good. That is
one of my
nice
favorite people. Lines in the movie. My absolute, probably my favorite line. I don't remember what I put in the box, but, it's the Elder talking to John in that scene where he goes, I've never seen a man fight so hard to get back where he started.
Mm. Yeah. That. Ooh, okay. I do like that. Now that, like, I heard it, and, like, there were a couple lines that were not. You put, yeah, in the box, by the way, which is funny.
No, I was riding high off that ending, and that ending was like, you ready to go to war? Yeah. It's. You got the yes this time, didn't you?
Oh, totally. There's another one, the after he fights Zero, which I guess was his name, but he says, that was a pretty good fight, right? And he goes, yeah. Like, it that was the clearest one to me, other than the ending. You know, the ending is very clear, but they are like 100% in the know of what they're doing. They know that that's his catchphrase, but not really. I see what you're kind of saying now is that he kind of has a catchphrase, but not really.
Well, and it's perfect because, like, in the second movie, Santino says, never one to waste words. You know, like, that is the perfect catchphrase for John Wick, is a single word. Like, that is perfect. And for it to just be, is fucking incredible. You know? I adore it. But that's the thing, is that while I do think this movie is a step down quality-wise, I do love it. I do love watching this movie. I have a great time with it. There was a trend going on Twitter a few weeks ago that was like, they'll never make me hate you. And it was a photo of a generally not ill-received movie, but like mixed reviews, or some of them were ill-received. But mine would probably be Parabellum. I'm like, they'll never make me hate you, you know?
No,
Kingdom
no,
of the
no.
Crystal Skull, some of the sequel trilogy, yes. But, you know, like this is outside of that realm. This would be the one I would go to for the they'll never make me hate
you. This is in no way like a Game of Thrones season 8 or like even season 7. This is I don't know. It is a step down, but it is like I'm still like a kid while watching. Like I'm smiling ear to ear at like the most brutal deaths on screen, but like
it's Return of the Jedi against Empire Strikes Back. I love it. No, it's not as good as the first two, but I love it. I love it a great deal, you know? Like
no way, am I ever going to be like, the John Wick franchise only involves 1, 2, and 4. 3, I'll just forget about. It's like, no, I'll still remember 3.
And
I had a blast.
This is critical for setting up some of the events in 4. Like,
that's what I assume. Yeah, it felt very clear.
The table and Winston and how they respond after this is what 4 starts with.
I'm ready for 4. That's I think the point of 3 is what I was getting, like, kind of why I realized this seems like another movie is coming. And then the other two, I got that idea at the end, but it felt very fulfilled. I was very satisfied with
the second one
that happened. I guess he does walk out, and it is like, it's before Winston reveals his power, whatever, I was so satisfied. I'm like, wow, this movie, what a great ending. You know, like, he's going to walk away. He's not going to die. I didn't know what was going to happen, but then that twist definitely changed the game. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously there's something more going to happen. But before that, I was completely satisfied with.
So where are you with Winston? Everything. Do you think Winston betrayed John here, or do you think John was in on it?
No, I don't think John was in on it. I think
Winston knew he'd lived Winston knew falling off a building.
That's where I'm. That's a fucking drop, dude. That's a drop.
He hit the ground fucking hard, bro.
Like the suits are bulletproof and all, but like that doesn't fall damage. I don't know. That doesn't help. You know, like just that gravity is just how I don't. He just.
Because Sharon's response after figure, like, because it's clear Sharon's not in on it, you know, because Winston, like, in the lobby.
Well played,
Sharon's
sir.
Like, well played, sir. You know, like, okay. I didn't see that coming, basically. Like, good shit. But there's also, like, this reservedness to him where he's like, damn, I kind of fucked with John. You know, like, and then the adjudicator walks up and is like, hey, John's not out there. John's gone. And he's like, oh, I know, he will be missed.
But he's playing it. Winston played it like he knew he was alive, and in the lobby at the end, Sharon gave kind of like a smile to it, they were in on it. Like, I don't think it was planned at all, but maybe it's kind of like they've been in the game for so long, this is like plan 99, or you know, or it's like something that is just known
well,
in the
and,
game
and calculating to, it in that moment the adjudicator goes, what do we do about him? The adjudicator puts him to death. Guaranteed.
Oh,
Winston
yeah.
Winston gives him the best chance he has at living.
And I guess that part, like, it's not just a flat fall. He does hit, like, the 45-degree angle first, and then, yeah, and then falls. So, like, and maybe Winston knew that he knows the Continental. It's his building. He knows everything about it, you know. So, maybe he knows this is the best place for him to fall. But then how does he get John over there in the first place? It's like, you know, maybe that's a little movie, man. It felt to me, at least, that Winston was either like, well, maybe it is, I'm going to try to save you, John. But if you die here, I gave you the best option I could. You know, like, you were going to die from the adjudicator. Like, there's... You just killed everybody, and you disobeyed the elder, you know, the direct order. So, like, yeah, he's done. Like, there's no shot of giving him. So maybe it was like, if you die, shit. But this is the best fall you can take from the building, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
What was your favorite kill in the movie?
Boban was close. Because Boban, the only reason I feel like I don't want to go with it is because it's early in the movie, and that feels wrong for some reason. But I loved Boban. I loved the horses. I loved the dogs. I just loved everything that was not a gun, basically, that was used.
I loved the horses. The horses were mine.
That's just so fucking...
Like... slapping it and making it kick the dude and then riding the horses against motorcycles
and then like holding like on the side. I love that. Just
that's
it just
gnarly.
Looks so badass. Oh dude, yeah. Like, and thank you we didn't need horses, but I love that we kind of hit every era. We got the bikes, we actually got the real bikes, we got the horses,
dude, and
we got
the motorcycle sequence was fucking gnarly too.
Whoa, like, oh, that might be one of the coolest kills. He,
dude,
like, kind of slices a dude's arm, and then it goes into the back tire to, like, lock it up, and then he flips over, you know, and gets, like, those were creative, the motorcycle.
Well, and
that
it looked so
was...
fucking cool. I love when visual effects aren't designed to look hyper-real. They are made to look good within the context of the scene, and it has this, it reminded me of The Matrix, which is an absolute compliment. And I think that was 100%. There's literally a callback to The Matrix,
guns.
1999,
lots of guns. Oh, when that, yeah, that was, yeah. That is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Also
come flooding in.
Also, yeah. Hey Sharon, would you set the mood for our guests real quick? What LED color, you know, do we got going on to I love, I don't know. I don't know if it was Matrix or they're just like, fuck it, green, you know, looked really cool. I like that they, just do they have sets that the lighting is really cool, like the museum. I don't know, the glass display.
Yeah.
3-level room that Winston's just like, ah, yeah, we just use this on occasion. It's like, okay, fuck it. Thank you that room exists because it's so much cooler than any other room.
I love
you could have
the way
in.
He says it too. He's like, we need this room so we can see what someone's holding underneath the table. He's like,
oh, okay. That's a little under the table. Literally, yes, everything is clear in there, but yeah, what people are holding under the table. They know they can't do anything to the table or whatever, but
what
all of our enemies
in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's a great fucking time. It is simple. I feel like we've kind of covered everything we really need to.
That's the thing.
Are you ready for a rating?
I think we are there. Yeah, we've gotten everything. Sadly, that's kind of the thing. Yeah, there's not more.
I mean, and that's the. It's a very simple movie. I think it could have been better, but I like it a great deal. So I'm excited to give it a rating here. But before that, if you would head to patreon.com/pennybloompod, where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and the like, and early access content. If you're not on Patreon, if you were 3 weeks ago, you would have already known this episode. You would have seen it. You could have watched it, all that. You know, like, this has been out for 3 weeks over on Patreon. And here we are, you know. Now you're late. You're late to the game. But if you do sign up now, we've got shit out that's not coming out for a month, basically. 3 weeks, anyway. 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. You can watch it over there. It's a lot of fun, so you should check that out. Head to Twitter, follow at Penny Bloom Pod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at Penny Bloom Podcast. Remember to leave a 5-star rate and review and continue downloading. This is the last episode of April. Going positive with it. It was a good month. And I'm hoping May can do even better regardless. How are we feeling? Mm-hmm. How are we feeling about John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm thinking, well, we were at 9.25. We're at 9 on the first one, 9.25 for the second. The enjoyment, the action, I'm enjoying more than the previous two, but I don't think the overall movie I'm enjoying more. I don't know. There is that maybe back and
it's
forth.
It's a weird balance. Here's my thing, is I'm not even that sure that I do enjoy the action more than I do in two. I think that the second movie's action is extremely strong, and it's grounded in a feasible story that is pushing the narrative forward. I don't think this movie has the scene where John walks into the Continental, stares Santino D'Antonio in the face, and shoots him in the head. You know, there's not a single scene in this movie that gets even close to feeling like that. You know, like...
No. As far as action sequences go, this one's kind of hard to beat. Like, in Morocco, like, just all those dudes running for him. You have John, Halle Berry, and the two dogs. Like, that, I mean, it went on for what felt like 20 minutes, but I bet was 5 or maybe
Probably 10.
I don't know.
Yeah,
and that was badass. You know, very creative in the way they used the dogs, I thought. And, like, it was a little repetitive at some
very
point.
Very cool stunt work, though. Especially by the dogs.
Mm-hmm. And did they, like, legit dogs the whole time?
There's behind-the-scenes footage of the dogs climbing up the walls and jumping onto the...
Damn.
You know that part where they, like, jump onto the guy and they land on a mattress? Like, that is...
Mm-hmm.
They have behind the scenes footage of that happening. Like, it's a really cool.
Like,
so yeah, I will agree. Like the action sequences themselves, yes, they are
motorcycle.
Super fun.
Yeah. The 3-level room that he has to go through. Like it is all pure when I'm just pure action. Like for the movie, that's why I say like the overall movie experience I think is lessened. But though, if you could just take out everything in between and just put the pure action back to back to back, then that's like, I don't know. Then it's like a 10 out of 10, but I don't have that emotional story weight. So, like, it isn't a 10 out of 10. So, like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know what number
no,
I'm trying
I get
to arrive
saying.
At.
I get
but
what you're saying.
It's
eight and a half. 8?
Yes, it is lower than the first two, but not by much. And I think like a 8.5, maybe 7,
I would even
right?
Go
at half point,
I would
maybe
even go
8.25. Yeah, 8 maybe is a little too low because, like, there were very creative uses for things and a lot of different weapons, a lot of different, very different genre blending. So, and this is where it'll do, I think, the best rating-wise. Well, I guess how much worse critically? I don't know. I guess we can – I haven't really thought that way. But I think 8.25.
I'm cool with that.
I think that, yeah. A little – not just a half point, but – almost a full point below the first one, but not quite. Okay. I think I can get behind that. And then, man, yeah, I don't know. The story is survive, and then power struggles at the end is basically all the story boils down to, and then meet some cool people along the way to get him to the people he needs to meet. You know, it's like, it's like, I need to meet this person to get to Braun, or I need to meet Halle Berry to get to Braun, and then I need to get from Braun to the Elder, and then now the Elder back to Winston. Yes, these were necessary steps that he needed to take, but I don't know.
Well,
it didn't
not
really...
only that, he needed to go home to the Russian lady to get to Halle Berry, and then it goes.
There isn't even
the way
step before
there.
That. Yeah.
So like, it is very just one step to the next. It isn't, and it is a very natural progression. I'll grant it that, but it's too long. It's too long of a movie. It stretches. It feels a little long. It's good looking. I'll grant it that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'd say two honestly impressed me more.
Two,
like,
I mean,
both
of the first two are better looking.
Yeah,
movies.
Yeah. Like there was some cool shots, like the ninjas, like they're the, like hiding in the shadows and coming out, or like things like that were really cool.
When John steps out of the shadows from behind Zero, like that's really really cool. Mm.
There was a shot of him in the desert with the stars. It's over. There's no other shot that could compete for me in this movie. It was like that. I might be taking it for a wallpaper, I'm not going to lie, and it might be my computer wallpaper for a little bit. I wonder if that
was
in camera or if they altered the sky. I'm assuming the sky was altered. But
I mean, it didn't look real. If it was, impressive. I don't know how that's possible.
If the skies look like that in the desert, I need to get to the desert. But that's... That was.
There's no light pollution. It's just sand.
What I'm saying, could be in camera. Like it
could.
It could, but I don't think so. If it is, it's definitely my favorite shot. That's for sure.
Well, let's see. Because one of the things that I was curious about was whether or not he was actually in a desert for some of the time. They did film in Casablanca. They did film in Morocco.
I'd say. I mean, I'm not finding anything that is like saying yes, this is real and whatever. But at least there's real pictures of them on sand dunes and like in the desert filming. So I guess it could be. I don't know.
They filmed in the Western Sahara. So yeah,
okay.
Could very well be. Because those were gorgeous sequences. Mine was the my Arrakis. Winston and the Adjudicator standing over Santino's dead body on the slab with the two burning ovens behind them.
Ooh.
They're like silhouetted by them, and there's light pouring in from above. Super fucking pretty.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it. So that was my shot. It's pretty at a lot of points, and the action is really well directed. It's really well choreographed. Keanu doesn't get nearly as much to do. Nobody gets nearly as much to do besides maybe Ian McShane. And even that is just more of the same. He doesn't have a lot of range. He just does his thing. Role, he's got a lot of range, but the actor does, but the character does not. I what do we give
1, 8, 7
at most?
That's what I'm saying. 7 seems kind of generous, which is
I would even say 6.5. is probably more where this movie falls quality-wise.
Like, the action is good. I think this is a perfect example of why a pure action movie isn't ideal. It sounds like it on paper, you know, if you just had end-to-end pure action, but you need some, you need something to make it worthwhile. You need something like a, I don't know, a better reason that they're fighting, or I don't know. It was just very bang, 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 bang. No real arcs, no surprises, no big what the fucks or whatever. It's just kind of, yep, that's how it's going down, or yep, those guys are all dead.
It's very cool. It's very cool. You know, like, it is a cool movie to watch. I will grant it that.
With a 6.5, it's a 7.08 or a 71. Around a 7 out of 10 is where this falls. And like, this is the lowest of the franchise, and that is impressive. Like, this
and
is
it will remain so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty confident in 4. I don't want to go into it like that, but after this one, I'm feeling pretty good. To watch
4's
the next one.
Instant reaction was very strong. As far as like general audiences, they were like, "That's one of the greatest action movies I've ever seen." But as time has gone on, it's like it's become more mixed. It's kind of like, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes of a John Wick movie. So, you know, if you can pull that off, you can pull it off. If you can't, you can't. And I'll reserve my true thoughts for how I feel about it until we get there. But, I'm excited for it. But, at a 71%, we will conclude the third movie in the John Wick quadrilogy. We'll be back next week with the beginning of a new project, but in the meantime we will conclude this franchise on Wednesday with John Wick Chapter 4, and we will conclude the Bad Batch Season 3 this Friday with the Bad Batch Season finale, the series finale, on the Penny Bloom podcast this Friday, and then next week we kick off the action movies galore in full fucking force, baby. So very excited to be covering Akira on Monday and Die Hard on Friday, and to split the difference, we're going to be beginning our Anya Taylor-Joy spotlight on Wednesday in anticipation of Furiosa. We'll be covering Emma, Last Night in Soho, and The Menu ahead of Furiosa. So next Wednesday we're doing Emma with Claire DeGeneres. She'll be back for the first time since The Dark Knight Rises, so I'm very excited for that. With that, I was Colton Robertson. I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.